Elizabeth Elliot says, "If you dwell on your own feelings about things, rather than dwelling on the faithfulness, the love, and the mercy of God, then you're likely to have a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. But dwelling on the faithfulness and the love and the mercy of God is always safe," she says. Welcome to Gateway to Joy. Here's your friend, Elizabeth Elliot.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. That's from Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you again today about Jesus, taking these lessons from the Gospel of Mark, the shortest of the four Gospels in the Bible. In the third chapter, we read about how a crowd collected outside a house where Jesus was, such a big crowd that it was impossible for him and his disciples even to eat a meal. And when his relatives heard of this, they set out to take charge of him because people were saying he must be mad. Now, you know, we often hear people say, well, Jesus was a great teacher. Very often, the people who say that really know almost nothing about his teaching. He said things which outraged the most religious people in his society. He said things which even upset his family, and they began to wonder if he had lost his mind. And then the scribes who had come down from Jerusalem were saying that he was possessed by Beelzebub, a name for the devil, and that he drove out devils because he was in league with the prince of devils. So Jesus called them to him and spoke to them in a parable. How can Satan be the one who drives out Satan? Pointing out the inconsistency, the contradiction in their argument. He says, if a kingdom is divided against itself, then that kingdom cannot last. Words that Abraham Lincoln used, weren't they? And if a household is divided against itself, it cannot last either. And if Satan leads a rebellion against Satan, his days are certainly numbered. No one can break into a strong man's house and steal his property without first tying up the strong man hand and foot. But if he did that, he could ransack the whole house. Believe me, all men's sins can be forgiven and all their blasphemies, but there can never be any forgiveness for blasphemy against the Holy Spirit. That is an eternal sin. He said this because they were saying he is in the power of an evil spirit. We see Jesus again and again silencing his opponents with a very simple question. How can Satan be the one who drives out Satan? A darkened mind is illogical. I saw that illustrated not very long ago. My husband and I were in New York, and it happened that just as we were walking across Fifth Avenue, we saw that there was a group of people demonstrating against the wearing of fur. And here were men and women lined up along the curb wearing towels, nothing but towels. And the word had been given out to the press that at 11:30 that morning, the towels were going to come off. So, of course, there were hundreds of policemen, police on horseback, motorcycles, squad cars, you name it, and throngs of people hoping against hope, I suppose, that the towels were going to come off. And I went up to one of those women wearing a towel. She was holding up a sign, you know, that said, "We'd rather go naked than wear fur." And so I said to her, "May I ask you a question?" And she said, "Sure." And I said, "Are you pro-choice?" And she said, "Well, what's that got to do with anything?" And I said, "Well, you're demonstrating against the killing of animals. Does it bother you that people are killing millions of babies every year in this country through abortion?" And she said, with the most withering scorn, "It's not a baby until it's born." A very clear illustration that a darkened mind is illogical. And as someone has said, none is so blind as he who will not see. Well, to go on with the story of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark, I do want to encourage you, if you've never read much of the Bible, and if you find it hard to understand, you probably haven't read Mark, and I would like to encourage you to try it. I think you might like it. And I'm going to skip over the parable of the sower, which is in the first part of chapter 4. You can read that for yourself. Be sure to read it for yourself and see which kind of soil your heart represents, the hard beaten pathway, or the rocky soil, or the thorns, or the good soil. And I'm going to read that lovely story, one of my favorites, of Jesus as master of the storm. And that begins with verse 35. Jesus said to his disciples, "Let's cross over to the other side of the lake." So they sent the crowd home and took him with them in the little boat in which he had been sitting, accompanied by other small craft. Then came a violent squall of wind, which drove the waves aboard the boat until it was almost swamped. Jesus was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. They awoke him with the words, "Master, don't you care that we're drowning?" And he woke up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Hush now, be still." The wind dropped, and everything was still. "Why are you so frightened? What has happened to your faith?" he asked them. But sheer awe swept over them, and they kept saying to each other, "Whoever can he be? Even the wind and the waves do what he tells them." Now, we've seen the authority of Jesus as he spoke with the scribes and Pharisees, highly educated teachers of the law. His authority impressed them. We've seen his authority over sickness. We've seen his authority over demons. And now we see his authority over the elements, the wind and the waves. He was master even of the wind and the waves. Let's notice that Jesus' presence in the boat didn't prevent the storm. It's very easy for us to leap to conclusions if, for example, we're doing a form of service for the Lord and things go wrong. Our first question is likely to be, maybe I never was supposed to be doing this. Maybe I'm in the wrong place. Maybe I've missed God's leading. His presence did not prevent the storm. They were not in the wrong place. It was a furious squall, and it was a little boat. Can't you just imagine? A little boat with a low freeboard, a very shallow draft, the kind that's still used today on the Lake of Galilee. And can't you visualize the frightened faces of the disciples? All seems to be lost. The next wave is going to completely swamp them. Where is Jesus? Why doesn't he do something? Imagine their astonishment to find that he is actually asleep. Asleep in the midst of violence, threatened death, disaster. The Son of Man sleeps. Comfortably, too. It says he had his head on a pillow. Now, what does this say about his character? He was not given to panic. He took things peacefully. His own human need for a rest after the strenuous preaching, he met by taking a nap. The demands of the crowds, the pressures on his time and strength. He was a man. He remembered that he was a man. Even though he did always the things that pleased the Father, he needed a rest. And so he went to sleep. And the disciples are outraged. "Don't you care if we drown?" He speaks to the wind, a rebuke. Not a scold, just a restraining order. His authority again. "Hush now, be still." And then he speaks to the disciples. "Why are you so afraid?" Helpless, scared to death, everything gone to bits, thinking this can't be the spiritual life. Without this experience, they would have missed the revelation of God. His serenity, his calm, his power over the worst that the world can bring. Certainly it must have seemed to those terrified disciples the worst that the world could bring. His power is brought into action when ours fails. I said to you the other day, some time ago, I guess it was, that the universe is a safe place. Only because he's in it. Only because he's got the whole world in his hands. And I'd like to read to you a poem written by Amy Carmichael about this little story that we've just read. Thou art the Lord who slept upon the pillow. Thou art the Lord who soothed the furious sea. What matter beating wind and tossing billow, if only we are in the boat with thee? Hold us in quiet through the age-long minute while thou art silent and the wind is shrill. Can the boat sink while thou, dear Lord, art in it? Can the heart faint that waiteth on thy will? The disciples weren't perishing. They were just panicking. May God give us the settled faith that rests everything on the character of Jesus.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.